Hey, everybody. Welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and joining me for this episode is Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Becky.
And Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Hey, Becky.
And Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hi.
We're only starting 2 minutes late.
Are you going to tell people why?
Because there was a bat in my house 2 minutes ago. And Mike Breyer almost died and lost his life.
There was a lot of freaking out.
There was a lot of
threat. We caught it on video. If only we were recording.
If only. At least it didn't happen while we were live.
Does it go back to the beginning?
I don't know.
Does it just record from the spot?
I think it just records from our spot. Yeah. It doesn't really
somewhat
fucking
disappointing.
Matter. Here's the deal. Like, I don't ask for a lot from my spouse, but to keep us from flying figures in my home, that's, you know, pretty
one thing. Nobody wants a bat in their house.
Anyway.
No.
So, anyway, hi, everybody. Welcome to the episode.
Hi.
Okay, so we are back with our Wednesday Sip and Discuss episode. This time, our title is The Next Best Fling, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I've been calling it all sorts of different names. I mean, which is fine, right?
I mean,
it's fine.
We
make
on
things
brand.
Up as we go.
And the author for this book, I didn't write it in the doc. I'm sorry, you guys. Gabrielle Gomez is the author. This is a debut, which is really exciting.
Yes.
I think actually... we have three selections coming, this one and then two more coming up in the next like 6 weeks that are all debut authors.
Yeah, because we have two this month and then one next month, I think.
No, two next month, one this month.
Yeah.
Is it two next month?
Yeah.
Oh, we are in the middle of August.
We are in the middle of August.
Wanting to tell myself it's the beginning of August and we still have a lot of summer left, but that's not true.
Those are lies. We do not.
They are lies I tell myself. Let me stay in the lie.
Stay in the lie. So I'm really excited about this. This book was published by Forever, which is a traditional published book. And we'll talk about this a little bit in the episode because I have some thoughts about some things that have been trending and happening with reading lately. Who wants to get us started with the things to know?
On it.
I can't.
Jenny will do it. Tell us, tell us the things.
Right. Release date is July 9th, 2024. So relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
Tropes after sports, close proximity, fake dating, deception, friends with benefit, miscommunication. I would say a little taboo, not a lot.
I couldn't decide if it was taboo or forbidden.
Mm. It's not really either one.
It's more like awkward.
Awkward. We'll go with awkward.
I mean, awkward can't really be a trope, but
messy.
It is more
so messy.
It is messy.
Real body heroin, and he falls first. Point of view is single first person. It's in her point of view. Audiobook is Ruby and Agnes. I'm not going to pronounce
Corazon.
It.
Corazon.
Corazon.
Different pronunciations.
I actually did it on the like Google thing and made it say to me.
Okay, yeah. All right. Third act breakup. No, sort of.
Well, they were never really together.
That's why I don't think could call it a third act breakup, but they do take some time.
It's messy.
But it's like,
yeah.
There's like multiple act breakups if we're going for that.
Right, because they take some breaks.
Yeah.
It's just really messy.
It's very messy. It pops at 52%.
Yeah, because they get cock blocked a lot.
It is a wide book.
They do get cock blocked quite a bit.
By everybody.
Don't answer your phone.
Right. Don't answer your phone. Well, and Ben, the brother, might be the biggest cock blocker of the world.
He also might be the biggest douchebag of the world.
Talk about villains. And it would be interesting to see if Gabrielle is going, because this is a series. So I assume we're going to get the best friend that's the fellow librarian. Get her book, which I really would be excited. That would be amazing because I think she would be such an interesting, complex character. But don't you feel like Ben is one of those characters that you kind of wonder if an author can give him a redemption arc?
I don't need it.
I mean, it's,
you don't need it.
It would be really hard.
I have said that before.
I think it's possible because Lexi Ryan has made me love people.
That I hated.
Brenna Morgan has made me love people. I think it is possible, but I don't, if I agree, I don't think I need it.
Oh, I don't need it at all. But I'm just curious because we have seen a villain and he's a villain. We should ask.
Well, I think the series is the librarians in love. So I think we're going to have a librarian like every time. So I don't know who he would, you know, you might have to bring in a new librarian for him. And I don't know that.
And if they're at the same library, like that could get very, very messy.
I mean, it's already pretty messy. Don't see that happening.
So so one of the things about this book, and we keep saying it over and over again, is how messy. But this felt like real life messy.
Mm-hmm.
It did.
And they're young. I mean, he's not. He's like, what, 27, 28? And I took her to be 23, 24.
I'm like, is that not young anymore?
I don't know. It's not. They're not new adult. He's lived in the real world.
Their frontal lobes are barely like fully formed.
Yeah. He's older than her, though, so.
Yeah. But don't you think that, like, this is the real life messiness of your 20s?
Well, but it's also the real life messiness of like being in love with somebody for a long time and like coming to terms with like your true feelings and how you're kind of in love with the idea of something and not the person.
Exactly. That's what I was like screaming from the start. I'm like, you don't even know who he is. You're just in love with the ideal.
Like, yeah, and then when she finds out who he really is, like,
oh, she doesn't like him. He's such a bad
person. Nobody does.
Like Theo is definitely like the feelings he has towards Alice, like there was some genuineness there. So like that part like felt normal. But like Ben was just such a horrible human
being. Theo's feel, so this book is what they call a love square. Yeah. Our heroine, Marcella, is in love with Ben. And it was kind of one of her first dating experiences in college. And mm-hmm. Ben is Theo's brother.
Yes.
And Ben, at the beginning of the book, gets engaged to Alice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Theo, our hero, who is Ben's brother, is also kind of, he had kind of a high school crush relationship with Alice.
They grew up together.
Next door to each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot for Theo's feelings, I think he confused caring for loving, like being in love.
Well,
and it wasn't sexual love.
And being in love. Like he loved her, but he wasn't in love with her. Like there's that discrepancy there.
Yeah. And it definitely wasn't sexual love because it was more like when he was going to go talk to her the night, because that was their re-meet cute, their official introduction, Theo and Marcella, it happens at the engagement party of Ben and Alice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she finds him pacing and thinks he's just drunk or freaking out. And she goes to talk to him. And that's when she finds out he's going to break up. His plan is to confront Alice with his feelings. But I almost wonder, especially as we get to the end of the book and he kind of starts talking through what he wanted to talk to her about, it was more that Ben is limiting your dreams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't so much that he was in love with her, not desired her. He just wanted the best for her and he worried that Ben was holding her back.
Yeah. Well, and like as the book progressed, like, it wasn't like you need to break, like end this engagement and get with me. It was like, you're making a mistake by moving forward with this engagement. Like there was never like, you need to be with me type of thing. towards the end. Like at the beginning, yeah, it's like I'm in love with you, you shouldn't do this. But like as he like grows through the book, it's like more of a she's making a mistake by moving forward with this guy who is not looking out for her best interests.
Yeah, I think he calls it the biggest mistake of her life.
Yeah, and I think he also realizes that, Ben at his core is not a good person, whether Theo wants to say it out loud or not. And I think also like the protectiveness that he has for Alice was probably coming into play a lot there too. Aside from, him thinking that he was in love with her, he probably just, wanted to protect her from somebody who's not a good person.
He's so selfish, just so selfish.
Well, and as we go through the story, so let's talk about Theo's character because it was really a little bit of a struggle because this is single point of view. We only know this story through Marcella's eyes. We only know emotions and feelings and actions as her interpretation and her view of them. But, and Amanda and I talked about it a little bit, I think we do get a good grasp as to who Theo is based on the conversation, which this book had some of the greatest flirty banter and a lot
Just
of,
really good dialogue too.
yeah,
Like not even just the
communication.
banter, but the communication and the talking, it was very good.
Except it is like painted with the brush of miscommunication.
Yes, like very good communication on his end of him telling her how he's feeling and what and his actions and stuff. And then, a little bit of like almost like, the deception part on from her that she's not telling him something.
But I think that, like, for me, I typically dislike single first person point of view because I really want to get like the inner mind of both characters. But I think with the way this story plays out and the fact that Theo is so open and so he's a little bit swoony for most of the book. But like, I think the fact that he is very communicative, that like we didn't need his point of view. Like we got enough from her and their conversations that like, I mean, had we gotten the other side of it, I don't know if the book would have been as successful.
I don't disagree with that. I think that the single point of view worked because at the end of the day, it's Marcella that had to unpack a lot.
So much baggage.
Like
So much, like a trunk full of baggage.
multiple suitcases in a trolley. Like
Oh,
she,
yeah.
abandonment issues from her dad divorcing her mother. The, her
Well,
mom,
and she's the fish on a hook, too.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that until the
When
end.
It
She
takes her a
talks
very long
about
time.
when she's talking with Angela, the roommate, right? Angela's the roommate.
Just the
Best
best
friend. Her
friend.
just the best friend,
Co-worker.
her coworker. When she's talking to Angela and she talks about how every time she'd get in a new relationship and every time she'd have a moment, Ben would be there to talk trash about the guy, or Ben would make some snide comment that made her rethink, or she'd be wearing something and feeling really beautiful, and Ben would question her, like, is that appropriate for you to wear for that date? And all that kind of stuff. And I kind of wanted to shake her because, who's the there's the guy on TikTok, the flag guy,
Oh,
like
yes.
where he runs
Red.
across the
Yeah,
screen
the
with a
green.
red flag or a green flag.
I love him.
She, Marcella, needed him. Like every time Ben came in her sphere of the
Like
world.
gaslighting at its finest right there.
I want to talk real quick though, because it was single point of view we had in the audiobook narrator. She did an amazing job.
It was really good.
The emotions that we got from her, the way she articulated the story, you just sometimes you can get a really angsty, messy book in an audiobook and you can quickly start to feel lost. Particularly if you don't know the characters, because you're especially a new book, a new series, you're throwing a lot at you. She did such a great job, and the way her cadence of speaking and everything, you really got to know all the different characters in play.
Well, and it's one of those things too, like where she it was sometimes when you have a single narrator, it can fall kind of flat because it's just like one tone.
Yeah.
But it wasn't that. Like there was a mix. Like you there wasn't necessarily the need for the voice changes or anything like that because of the way the story was written, but like it was very it rose and fell. It wasn't just a flat listen. Like even I actually listened to this at 1.5 today to finish it up. And I really liked listening to her in like s slower mode.
I was only a 1.2 on this audiobook because
Really?
I really just I liked this story. And when I
I like
sit
this
here
voice
and I
too.
complain about stop just giving me vibes, right? I don't just want a couple of conversations, a bunch of sex. I want emotion and I want something to sink my teeth in. And this book gives us all of that.
Well, it gives us the vibes, but it gives us like the meat and potatoes too.
Yeah. So let's talk about Marcel a little bit too, again, because one of the things I want to talk about is the vulnerability that we get with her. Like she's messy, like she's got baggage, but she isn't trying to hide herself either.
No, she's not.
There was a really pivotal scene where she's wearing a cat suit, a one piece jumpsuit, and it's the first night that they're going to get together. And her moment of panic of like, fuck, I have to take this all off in front of him. Like, there's not going to be like a shimmy of the shirt and some
Yes, a
pants.
graceful way to do this.
There's, yeah. Like, I don't know if you've ever taken a
Well,
romper
she's like, should
off.
I turn the lights out? Like, how should I do this? Should I hide and take it
Who's
off?
going to go to the bathroom?
Well, and I think that was one of the first like really Theo swoony moments. Where she's like headed towards the bathroom, and he's like, wait, where are you going?
Well, but also like he can really tell when she gets like in her head. Like he always
So
knew
literate.
like when she would get in those moments and like basically start to self-destruct. 'Cause he didn't call her out on it, but like he always was like, what's going on? What are you thinking? Like he acknowledged the fact that like he saw her, and I just really enjoyed him as a character.
So he was super swoony and he had baggage too. He was not without his own messiness.
No, but he acknowledged it as well. Like, I think they were both very good about acknowledging how messy the situation was, and to the point where, she thinks that because it's so messy that they can't work.
Yeah. And you would think that he'd be more resentful of his brother, especially in the end, which, spoiler, like if you're listening to this, just know we're spoiling this. When you find out that Ben is responsible for his tear on his ACL, that was a gasping moment. I did not see that coming. I thought for sure it was going to be something with the dad and covering something up. And then Ben was responsible because of being careless.
Well, but
Yeah,
then
and also
he's
the
a dark
fact,
romance villain. I'm
but also
sorry.
the fact that like he went after Alice when he knew his brother was in love with her. Like on purpose. He's like, I don't give a fuck. I'm gonna take her.
But Theo just, he was really laid back. He was a little bit of a, he was a little bit of a golden retriever though, you guys.
He's definitely a beta, that's for sure.
Now, see, I didn't feel like he was, because you know, betas typically annoy me.
Yeah, but
But he
he's a
was
beta.
so, he kind of
Well,
reminds me a little bit of Jeremiah from Angela M. Lopez's After Hours on
oh
Malabar
yeah.
Street. He
He does.
is a little bit submissive, but he uses his own brain and does things. Like he doesn't push.
Well, he pushes when needed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I would say he's not a beta. I would probably
See, and I
lean
don't think
more.
he's a beta either. I don't feel like he's
No, he's a partner, like, yeah.
a supporter, you know. All of us are very lucky. You know, we all have spouses that stand behind us, help us pursue our dreams, push us to be better. And I don't know that a beta hero would do that.
That's true.
You know, he would just be okay with letting you take the lead and doing what you want willy-nilly. Theo didn't do that. But he just knew, because he does push her, right? He pushes her. He makes mm-hmm. says, hey, don't go to the bathroom. Let's do this together.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, he pushes her at the appropriate moments. Like, he knows when to push and when to back off. And I think that was the biggest thing with him, too, is, like, he knew, like, when the buttons needed to be pressed. But then he also would freak out and walk away, too.
Well, you know, that first... Go ahead, Jenny.
No, but at least he, like, walks away. Like, he doesn't put the blame. Like, he knows that he has his baggage, too. And he doesn't put all the blame on her for things not going at the pace he wants.
And I think, like, you know, you look at his swoony moments, those swooniest of swoony moments that he has. Like, in the library, when he shows up to her YA reading book club.
After his 10 days of silence.
After his 10 days of silence. And he doesn't, and he just goes along with what she wants. But does he go along, or does he kind of realize that he's kind of grovel a little bit because he's been silent for 10 days?
Yeah, I mean, and then we find out later he goes there to break up with her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when he tells her that, you know, he's like, I came there with the intention of saying, you know, we need to stop this. And then, like, he goes in to tell her, like, seeing her, like, made him reconsider. And that was very swoony for me, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, there's the other library scene with all the candles and the cardboard box. And this is, again, this is another reason why I do not think that he's a beta, because a beta hero never would have brought the cardboard box up again after that first night. It would have just been this thing kind of floating in the air. And he poignantly asks her after he follows her out after she freaks out.
Yeah, this is true. Like, well, he has to take her
home. Yeah, he has to drive her home.
Like, he is her ride.
But he doesn't just, like, cold shoulder her or, you know, let me call you an Uber, like, or something like that. He does
still try and talk to her through it.
Yeah.
I will say, the box, that was amazing. When she finally opened it, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to marry him in that moment.
I was like, well, she knows her audience.
Yeah, she does. Like, well, and that's one of the things, too, with this book. So overall, like, we're talking about these key moments, but this is a debut. And oftentimes in a debut, there will be plot holes. There will be too much showing us everything versus just telling us and letting the story unfold. Pacing can be issues. Is there anything in this debut that you guys thought, oh, yeah, it's a debut?
No, honestly, like, I would have, had I not known going into it, I would never have guessed this was a debut book.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I reviewed this on the website, and I gave it 4 stars, and I gave it 4 stars because I really did want one or two glimpses into Theo.
Yep. Yeah. You and I talked about that either yesterday or today. Like, this is a solid 4. It would have been a 5+ if we had gotten just, like, 4 or 5 chapters from Theo's point of view.
Especially because of the vulnerability we get. And we see, you know, Marcella's insecurities and her growth as a character. I mean, she comes a long way from beginning to end.
She does. Yeah, she does.
Would that have been stunted if we had had his POVs? Would she have developed as strongly? Because she carried us through this book. Would you?
Yeah, I don't know if she would have gotten the same development. And then I also think, too, like, if we'd had his POV in certain points, especially when everyone is telling her not to trust him, I don't think she would have had as much doubt. So I don't, like, I think that would have created, like, a little bit of,
like, I think we needed the doubt along with her.
Yeah, I think I think you needed to have that doubt about him until things started unfolding. So I think, you know, maybe at the end, like, I would have, like, a couple of chapters in his POV.
I thought of 3 places that I was like, would I have liked his POV? Would it have helped? The one is that bar scene when the mean girls show up.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have known, because
what he was thinking in that moment.
Yeah, because he was a little bit paralyzed. And that was something we saw throughout this book, that he would kind of get paralyzed in these moments. And you didn't know if it was because of his own, like, anxieties or his own hang-ups, or was it because it was Marcella and she's connected to Ben and Alice? Like, we don't know. The other scene that I was thinking of was that kiss in the library during the YA club. Like, especially because we had had 10 days.
Well, just over those 10 days, I would have been like, I would have liked to understand, like, why he decided to. I mean, we kind of get a little bit towards the end, but in that moment, I was like, why was it 10 days? Like, what possessed the 10 days? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then the only other moment was when they were playing football during the first part of the date.
Their date.
Yeah.
That was adorable.
I believe that it was Jenny who texted me. How did he not have condoms in his apartment?
No, that was me.
Was that Amanda? And my answer was, he's a man.
Yeah, I think the only thing for me was because he was like setting up this apartment for like a week. And he tells her she can't come over. Like, he's getting everything ready. He's getting all of this new furniture. They plan, like, this is like, she didn't just show up. Like, this was a planned event. She's coming over for dinner. Like, she's been waiting a week. And then they get there and they're like, oh, he doesn't have condoms. I was like, are you serious? Like,
totally your responsibility, dude.
I do.
Unless he was like, if I don't have them, then I won't be doing this.
Well, then that's when his POV would have been beneficial. But
yeah, because I was like, that's a jerk move.
Yeah.
It is kind of a jerk move.
And at those moments,
you went to all of that planning for like this freaking adorable like date, and then you don't like have the stuff that you need.
Yeah.
And was this a matter of some
28-year-old dude doesn't have condoms?
He just forgot.
He just forgot.
I mean, yeah, if we'd gotten his POV and he'd have been like, oh, I was rushing around trying to get everything ready and I forgot to go to the pharmacy or wherever. I mean, you know, that would have been a beneficial POV moment there for me anyway.
I think
so, like, dude, just really bad at shopping.
What did you think in the end? So this is a little bit of pacing stuttering in the end when she's still kind of on the fence. And then we get the epilogue. Is it the epilogue? She takes him to meet her mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a huge time jump to the epilogue.
Yes.
I always read the epilogues in audio because I have to listen.
It doesn't stop.
Especially because I had to pay for it. I'm going to get every inch to listen. I listen to the fucking credits because I paid for it.
Sometimes I like to listen to the credits. I'm
good
very
to know.
I paid for it. I got to get every penny out.
You paid for a book, too.
It's KU. It's fine. They don't need my page reads. You know what's really great? Carrie Elks now does not. She sends me the bonus epilogues. She just sends them in my book funnel and is like, I sent you the bonus epilogue. Please read it. And like when your author, like, you know, one of your favorite authors is telling you, please read the bonus epilogue. You're like, oh, okay. Because again, she's friends with Melanie and they might throw me off a cliff. I do not know about those women. They, I will be murdered.
Which, I mean, it just goes to show you need to read your epilogues.
So what did you think about the ending of her taking, one, her conversation with her mom that she has?
Mm-hmm. I thought that was a really important piece of the story.
So you think we needed that? You think that we needed that moment with mom?
Are we talking about like when she goes by herself?
The first time. Yeah. And then we'll talk about the second one.
Yeah, okay. I think that we having need to talk that conversation about the events in between with her mom was really important because it gave her a little bit more insight to where some of her hangups come from.
Yeah. So what do you want to talk about the in-between, Jenny?
So like when they're helping Alice pack her apartment, she's taken everything.
Yeah.
And Ben shows up. I'm like, oh man, we're going full Jerry Springer here. Yeah. Like out on the lawn.
I was like, this is gonna get messy.
That was something though, like when Alice showed up at Marcella's apartment to like talk to her, I thought that was a really nice part of the story.
I didn't mind the accidental text. Sometimes I feel like that is such a plot device that's annoying when you accidentally text the wrong person. Like, okay, we all have done it. But also, like,
it was one of those things. It wasn't like it.
But this
wasn't
was annoying.
A forced moment. Like, it wasn't like all of a sudden this text showed up. Like, they'd already introduced the lockbox for the phones, like at the beginning. So, like, you
They're
knew that
smart.
there was something that was going to happen because that seemed like a really important, like, Easter egg at the beginning of the book. It's like, had you not had the mistake text, then that whole piece of it would have been like, what was the point of it?
So
Which I thought it was funny that they had a special lockbox that they put their phones in while they were drinking.
I need that just so I don't buy crap.
I mean, yes, my Amazon cart would be much happier if I had a lockbox.
If I had to type in my Amazon, like my credit card into Amazon every time, I would buy way less stuff.
So what did you think about the text message as the plot device to cause the third act drama and angst?
I thought it was a little convenient, because I mean, I didn't mind it because, you know, there was the setup or whatever, but then it happens and then everything just kind of snowballs. Like she comes over and says, I'm leaving him. We had other problems, whatever. And then Ben is very hung up on the fact that, you know, like you ruined everything with this text message. And I kind of felt like, no, she didn't ruin everything. And I almost wanted like a little bit more absolution for her for it being an accident. Like I feel like it just kind of flowed from that text and then to everything blew up.
Theo never gets mad. Even
Yeah.
after she kind of kept this secret from him.
But I think part of it was like he recognized that she wasn't being truthful with some stuff, like, because he basically says it later on, like he knew and like he had a feeling like where things were going, but like he recognized like that she had the baggage. So I think that that just was part of the like the fact that his character was
And I think
had a lot more depth than people were anticipating.
that's when I would have loved his POV, listening to her come clean about the deception
Them.
and how he processed that. But then, okay, so then we go to the apartment and Alice is packing everything and going to DC for the new job, and she's taking everything. I'm
I
like,
mean,
sister,
what
put
did
her
she say
petty
at one
pants
point?
on.
She's
I
like,
mean, that's
hurry up and
petty.
get the TV out before he comes home. Like she knows. Like she's
Well, and
like,
she's like, he's lucky I'm leaving him the sectional.
I won't blame her
And when
car.
Theo's like, can I have the espresso machine? She's like,
Yeah.
sure, take what you want.
And when Ben does show up, I really loved that moment for the fact that it was kind of like we got to see all his true colors, like a big giant fireworks show with a spotlight on him. Like, I loved that. 'Cause it was like, oh yeah, we lived through all the messy. That's the moment we lived for. 'Cause I did watch the Jerry Springer and hope there would be fisticuffs.
Yeah.
I was in
Man, who
it.
didn't? Who didn't watch Jerry Springer, I mean, honestly?
Yeah, but I wanted to see the fight break out. Like,
Man, that was always the best part.
WWE pull the folding chair out,
But I think it speaks a lot to like Alice's character and like Theo's character with the way that it was basically the three of them against Ben, like in that moment. Like they recognize that like he is the toxic in that like whole situation. And so it's like we are going to band together. Like, yes, like our situation is not normal and it's messy and it really kind of sucks the way that it like played out. But at the same time, like he is the common denominator of toxicity there. So I like that.
So what did you think about the epilogue? That it wasn't, so did this feel like an HEA or an HFN?
Not sure.
I think it feels like an HFN.
Yeah, and I think we're gonna get probably more of them in the next book that's going to solidify it.
I
So this
hope
is it's going to
so.
be interconnected, right? Standalones, I think.
Yeah, I would
Like
hope so.
I
I would
have good
assume.
feelings.
Yeah.
I
And I
have
can
good.
see where it's an HEA, but it doesn't exactly feel like it at the same
I
time.
think because the epilogue was so in time short, like again, the epilogue just felt like another chapter because you didn't
It
give us
did.
enough of a peek into the future
There
for
wasn't
it
enough
to
gap, yeah.
solidify the HEA. Like,
No, but I think her taking him to meet her mom was like a little bit, because she jokes around
Be
with her mom,
careful.
like, you'll meet him when we get married or when we have kids or something like
Right.
that. So I think it was a big indicator that, she's serious, that like she plans for
Well,
this to be
and it's
a
one of those
long-term
things
relationship.
she's never done that before. Like her mom, like she talked about Ben to her mom. Her mom had never met Ben, but since then, like she's dated, she's had flings, like, and she's never mentioned them to her mom because that was one of the conversations they had towards the beginning of the book. It's like she's says how she never mentions anybody she's seen. So it's like that in itself is very telling for the HEA aspect of it because she is, he's like a real, he's a real boy basically
He's a
this
real
time
boy.
around. And like he, it was never that with her mom before.
So Jenny, I know friends with benefits can be a harder trope for you to really connect with the characters. Did you have any problems
I
with
had to
that?
do a lot of like brain power.
Did you?
Yeah, I had a lot of like brain power. I explained the whole thing to Jeremy and then was like, I don't get the.
They had, but I think they had such a genuine, strong connection that it never just felt like the rebound or the hookup.
Well, but I think though too is like they weren't old friends. Like it was like the benefits were kind of established before the friendship was. So like it's not, it's kind of friends with benefits, but it's more benefits with friendship as a bonus.
So did that bug you in this book, Jenny?
Yeah, I think that's.
That was your hang up.
Yeah, I think that's what I struggled with. Like, because I mean, they're like, I mean, they don't get together when everybody thinks they do, but then it's like once they make the decision to do that, like, that's the goal, right?
That's the goal.
It is the goal.
What about you, Amanda? I don't think you mind friends with benefits.
No, I like friends with benefits. I think my biggest problem was like it was so messy. I was like, how is this going to work? Because I don't love like big mess like that. Like normally that's too much for me.
I loved
Yeah,
every moment
same.
of this messiness. Like,
But I liked it. It worked for me. Like I really did like it, but I was going into this and I'm like, oh, I don't know. 'Cause normally I don't like a sibling's ex at all.
because it's
Like
messy.
that's hard. Yeah, exactly. It's big messy. And like, I have a hard time with it. So
Okay, so let's do our thumbs. Does anyone else have anything about the book that we need to talk about? No,
I
just.
do want to say that like her favorite YA book is my favorite YA series, like An Ember in the Ashes by Saba Tahir. So like when she put that as her Tinder profile, I was like, I love her. So
Girl
there's
crush
a
for
shout out to
Amanda.
Loveless too.
Yeah.
There is a shout out to Loveless here too.
I am very hopeful that Angela is the next book because I am intrigued by her character arc.
Okay, so let's do our thumbs up, thumbs down. Amanda, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Jenny, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
Leah, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up.
And this is thumbs up for me. I have to say, and I kind of alluded to it at the beginning of this episode, for whatever reason, right now, traditionally published books
They're hitting really
are
well.
hitting so much better than some of the popular indie books.
I think that's the key word there, though, popular.
Yeah. I mean, this gave us the meat and potatoes that I want. It wasn't vibes. It wasn't just surface. I mean, if you compare this book, and it's not the same, I know, but if you compare this book to like last week's book, and just as messy as this book was, it gave and it gave and it gave.
Yeah.
And the chemistry was fantastic. Like,
Yeah.
I
Well, and there
believed
was, but the
that they were
thing
attracted
is,
to each
though,
other.
too, there wasn't anything left on the table. Like, there wasn't things introduced where you're like, at the end of the book, you're like, why was that there? Or where did this go? Like, everything got cleaned up. Now, it didn't all get cleaned up nicely.
No, it was still kind of messy.
It was very messy, but like, it all had an ending to it.
This book kind of reminds me of like throwing clay on a potter's wheel, like when you get it too sloppy
Oh,
and
when
too
you
wet,
first, yeah.
and everything is like little pieces are just flying and getting everywhere, and it's just.
Well, or when you just do the first drop and it just
plops cakes. And it's messy.
Yeah.
That was this book. That.
But I think had it not been as messy, it wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Okay, so does anybody have any book suggestions? If you liked this book, what are some books they should try? And it's funny that you say this, Amanda, that, you know, siblings, X bothers you because the Melissa Foster book, Levi's book, which one is that one? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and it doesn't always bother me. And that bothered me a little bit in that one. And especially because, I mean, it did bother me a little bit in that one. And actually, one of my recommendations is actually, it's also a sibling's ex. But like when they're done well, like I do enjoy them. But Levi and Tara's book is not my favorite in that series. So
it was messy, but they're messy.
It is messy. So
it is always her love.
Yeah, Caught by Love by Melissa Foster is another example of really good meat and potatoes friends with benefits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What else do you got, Amanda?
Archer, that is my favorite.
That is your favorite. So,
that is my favorite.
Any other books you think, if somebody liked this, books that you think they should try?
I wrote At First Spite by Olivia Dade.
Oh, yeah.
Because that book is very messy. It's very emotional. It also has like real body heroin. They're close proximity. I think that's another one that's in the same vein as this.
Yeah, I'd agree with that for sure. Jenny, do you have any recs?
It kind of reminded me of Blindside by Amy Dawes.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
But it's kind of like they took out the second line, like they're not in love with other people. They're in love with each other and not killing each other. But,
yeah. There's chaos, but not mess.
Yeah.
Leah, do you have any recs?
Just ones that we've talked about already.
So I had quite a list, actually. We didn't even really talk about Theo. This is an after sport romance, meaning he was a professional football player and now he's retired and coaching high school football. But like, and I'll put them on our website at buzzingaboutromance.com in our on the shelf show notes. But Miscommunication, Reckless Heart by Zoe York. Like, if you don't mind messy, that book was full of miscommunication and messy. Next Life Duet by Britt Benson. That book, that duet, messy. And a villain. You didn't realize was the villain until the second book. And then you're like, what the freck, Fred? Where the hell did this come from? Because you didn't know she was going to be the villain. And then kind of that forbidden a little bit, This Could Be Us by Kennedy Ryan, Turn Me On by Lauren Blakely. But again, I will add my recs to our on-the-shelf show notes along with everybody else's. Okay, so that was The Next Best Fling, which I'm glad everybody liked it.
It was really good.
Okay, so make sure you are back here on Sunday night for our back-to-school episode. We are going to talk about students and teachers, but not separately. Students and teachers. Because that's yucky.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's not. Sorry.
Very rarely.
Oh, yeah. I do actually. Mary Carr has one, and we'll talk about it on Sunday. Mary Carr has one professor student, but she's older.
There's some really good ones.
Yeah, you're
There's
so
not
naughty.
A lot of plot in them, though. I'm just throwing that out there.
Leah's going off the edge. So leave me
okay,
off.
Anyway.
Leah went
back
off.
To the episode.
And then we're back next Wednesday, where we will be chatting about our community vote, Crossroads by Devney Perry. It is a read, listen, and Kindle Unlimited. So we'll be talking about that next week. Anyway. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Until next time, everyone.
Happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.